Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Do you want to see the future? Just turn on your television. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is March 7, 2013. Thanks for joining us today. So glad you could be here because we've got a three-day entertainment article you can find on pages 16 through 18 in your Advanced magazine, The Future of TV. Well, everybody always wants to know the future, right? We do anything to try and figure out what's going to happen in the future. Well, all you have to do is open up your Advance magazine. We'll tell you all about the future, right, Naomi?
Of course we will, Bill. We're always trying to keep our finger on the pulse of what is up and coming. So that means staying tuned, staying aware of what is going on in the world, and trying to have a sense of what's new, what's exciting, what's developing in different industries. But, of course, the entertainment industry, we get little stories like, oh, there's, 4D movies like we did last year. Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting, but not really a dramatic shift. More like a next step, something that you maybe could have predicted. But for me, this article is a little bit more revolutionary.
Yeah. Yeah, when you mentioned like the 4D article from last year, I would call that like an incremental change in the entertainment business.
Right. So that kind of just means a very small step forward that you could kind of expect. But if it's revolutionary, that means something is really changing in like the identity almost of the media.
Right. Okay. Well, that was Naomi Beesavel. Also joining us here in the studio is television expert Simon Stops. Hi, Simon.
It's wonderful to be here, Bill.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's a television expert, but he watches a lot of television, right?
Sort of, Bill.
Admit it.
This is a very important article for me because I'm not a television set watcher. But I do watch a lot of television programs.
Yeah. Well, I'm joking about it a little bit. But actually, Simon is very well versed on all of the stuff that we're going to be talking about over the next 3 days as far as the platforms for watching television programs.
I've been doing a lot of reading, Bill. A lot of reading.
You always do. Yeah. You always do. And you always tell me all about it.
A lot of TV watching. Yeah.
Yeah. But you watch television programs on several different forms of media, right?
That's right. One of the big changes, obviously, in television has been the internet. It's changed everything, not just TV, but other things as well. And the internet has made television available to people in all kinds of ways that it was never available before.
Okay. Well, glad to have Simon here. He normally works over on Let's Talk English and also does some work in Studio Classroom. So we bring him in on Advanced once in a while. Now, listeners, turn to page 16. Let's get into our first reading. And we'll have that left column and a little bit of the right column on page 16.
The future of TV. The way you watch your favorite TV shows may be changing. The price of cable TV continues to grow. Better online video content and streaming devices have spawned cord cutters. What do these movements mean for the future of TV? Disruptors and cable insiders offer a sneak peek. Avner Ronan, CEO, Boxy, the reformed cord cutter. Boxy's recent tuner add-on lets users of the Boxy Box, an open-source media streaming device, watch HD broadcast stations on their televisions. When we started, we weren't as intimately familiar with how this industry worked. Just telling people, yeah, you should go ahead and cut the cord, without being able to watch the Olympics, doesn't work. That's why we decided to concentrate on providing the broadcast networks to our users. If you can offer the broadcast networks and add them to Netflix and Hulu and YouTube, That would be a great experience. And a more affordable one. TV should not be free. We believe that content makers need to be compensated for their work. We are not advocating that the future of TV should be free. Stuff is being produced for YouTube that is getting better. We have to make sure the incumbents understand. We are not trying to destroy their business.
All right, listeners, make sure you've got out your yellow highlighter or maybe a red pen to underline a lot of the words that may not be bold printed. They're not our vocab-focused words or specialized terms. There's a lot of great vocabulary and idioms in this article.
That's true. I prefer a purple highlighter myself.
Purple?
Yeah. Yeah, or pink.
You are colorful. You are very colorful. Artistic.
You know,
thank you. You make English artistic. It's no longer boring with Naomi.
Well, here's hoping.
Flowery and beautiful.
Either way, I did take out my purple pen today, and I underlined a lot of extra words over the next few days. So I hope that everyone can enjoy keeping up with us as we go through them. Try to explain everything carefully.
Okay. Not just flowery.
No.
Naomi is all business when it comes to English, too. She's serious about it. Serious and fun.
Oh.
A unique combination.
Amazing.
Yeah. Simon, what does our deck say under the future of TV?
Well, it says the way you watch your favorite TV shows may be changing.
Okay.
And I think that is certainly true for me. I remember as a young man having only a few TV channels to watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, sitting with my family, glued to the TV, watching the TV closely. But when I go home now, that's not the way it is.
Yeah.
Right. I remember arranging the weekly schedule around TV night. You know, there was one or two shows every week that we really wanted to watch. So we would plan on that. We would say, well, at 7 o'clock, we'll want to be home so we can catch that show. Because if you didn't catch it, there was no chance to make up for it later.
It's amazing looking back on how rigid television viewing used to be, because that's right. You saw that program at that time, that day, or else you were out of luck. There was no TiVoing or videotaping of it. There was no other option.
Well, and I remember when it did suddenly start happening that we could set our VHS recorders to tape a show, and it was such a pain, and people were constantly taping the wrong channel or taping over a show they hadn't watched, and so we've come a long way.
Or taping over something they didn't want to tape over.
Right.
I have kind of a real funny snippet on that. When I was married, my wife used a VHS tape to tape a soap opera. Do you know what she taped over?
Your wedding.
Our wedding. She taped over our wedding
That may
video.
Have been a sign, Bill.
She taped The Young and the Restless soap opera over our wedding. I was just in shock.
Wow. What shocks me even more is that's not the only time I've heard a story like that. You know, it happened a lot. So clearly that was a flawed way, an imperfect way, a problematic way of making sure you caught those shows.
Yeah.
So then we sort of moved forward a little bit. And I know when shows started becoming available on VHS to rent, that was exciting because you could sort of go back and watch a season that maybe you hadn't seen much of.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into some of all of the options that now exist moving from what we've just been talking about, the past to the present, which is just – it's a buffet of choices that we now have for TV viewing. And how do we start, Simon?
Well, we started off by finding out that the price of cable TV is growing. And that's a very interesting sentence because my cable TV has not increased in price in a very long time here in Taipei.
All right, what's going on with that? Why? And how does that compare with North America?
Well, as I understand it, understanding that I don't live in North America right now, the price of cable TV in many places just keeps getting higher and higher. In some cases, more than, I guess, $100 a month, things like that.
Yeah, for instance, I talked with my parents the last time I was back home in Pittsburgh, and their cost is about $100 U.S. per month for cable. It does include internet service, which we had talked about before, and some other things that are all bundled together when they combine different services.
Right, and that's a good point, that they come together now. Yeah. Because when I was young, either you had cable or you didn't. And cable was kind of a luxury that only some people could afford. Now, as I'm, you know, now it's changed so much because cable and internet have gone together, and very few people are willing to sacrifice internet. They don't really consider internet access a luxury.
Right. Right. Now, and there are certain private companies in America, and I assume in Canada also. So this is, you know, it's free market. And so they can just keep raising the prices, whereas there's more governmental involvements in places like such as Taipei that actually can regulate the price. So that's why there's a difference in the different places.
Right. But then we get away from cable a little bit because we're explaining in the next sentence, better online video content and streaming devices have spawned cord cutters. So first of all, something has spawned or created cord cutters. And a cord cutter is someone who is cutting the cord. They are terminating their cable subscription. They're saying, no more cable for me. Mm-hmm. But the reason why is because the options online and different options, just things that aren't cable, are getting more competitive.
Yeah. And the cost also has become prohibitive for some people. During an economic downturn, some people have to cut out some things that they consider optional, cable TV being one of them. So now we continue in line six.
It says, what do these movements mean for the future of TV? And it continues with disruptors and cable insiders offer a sneak peek. Two very interesting terms there.
Indeed. Now, this is basically the key point of the article, right? What does all of this mean for the future of TV? Now, that word disruptor is one that I thought was really interesting. Someone who is a disruptor is sort of a rebel. They're kind of trying to do things in a different way. And actually, when I was trying to come up with a good vocabulary focus sentence, I Googled this word to see how it appeared in news articles and so on. And often you'll see certain companies that do something a little differently, that do something a bit against the grain, sort of different from their competitors. They call them disruptors because they're doing something that isn't really a standard in their field.
Mm. Even an individual could be a disruptor, somebody who comes up with new ideas, who is like pushing the envelope or on the cutting edge.
Right. Sometimes we think of that word disrupt in a negative way, like a child disrupting the class by speaking up when he shouldn't. But when it comes to businesses, it can be a very positive thing.
Sneak peek.
Well, a sneak peek means it gives you kind of an inside look, a deeper understanding of the secrets that are kind of going on behind the scenes.
Okay. In this article, we actually hear from some industry experts, and we start off here in day one with Avner Ronan.
Right. Avner Ronan is the CEO of Boxy, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but they call him a reformed cord cutter. So if, of course, we already talked about a cord cutter being someone who wants to turn off their cable, but if you are reformed, it means that you have kind of changed your mind a little bit. You've sort of turned over a new leaf, started again. And so maybe if you used to be, a bad boy, or, you know, you used to break the rules a lot, but then you are a reformed bad boy, that means that now you're very good.
Okay. Now, we see here that Boxy's recent tuner add-on lets users of the Boxy Box. And what is the Boxy Box?
As I understand it, it's a device that lets you take internet things and put them on your TV.
Okay.
So you're basically watching things like YouTube instead of watching television.
Okay. Television programs on your TV, right? So we see that an open source media streaming device, and you can watch HD broadcast stations on their television.
It's important, though, Bill, that like later here they mention that Boxy isn't just about watching open source media anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they say he's a reformed cord cutter, because I believe in originally Boxy was trying to provide an alternative to cable television. But, you know, lots of people want to watch major events and they watch them on TV.
Let me ask you about this term, open source.
Open source means it's available to everyone for free. Anyone can use it. Anyone can change it. But they have to make it available to other people.
Okay.
Right. So that's the key. Anyone can use it, but also anyone can adapt it and also work on it. It's kind of like a big team effort with anyone who wants to get involved. So it allows you to watch those stations on your TV in HD. And as we learned from Mr. Ronan, he says, when we started, we weren't as intimately familiar with how this industry worked. So if you're familiar with someone, you know them very well. If they are intimately familiar with the industry, that means that they've learned everything about it now. They really understand it in depth.
Right. And it's really the only way you can be competitive. You have to know every detail about the industry that you're in. So, and he continues in line 15.
Yeah, he says, just telling people, yeah, you should go ahead and cut the cord without being able to watch the Olympics doesn't work. And that's kind of what we were talking about before. Millions and millions, if not billions of people tune in to watch things like World Cup soccer or Prince William's wedding.
Right.
And they tune in to TV to watch those things.
Absolutely. And I think that happens when really any big news story occurs in the world as well. If you don't have a TV station to tune into, you feel a little lost, a little out of touch, even weather. I mean, I know we can check these things on the internet as well, but In my apartment, we tend to go to the TV when something big happens.
Yeah. You walk in your apartment, grab the remote, turn the TV on.
Right.
That's the first thing you do.
Right. Or even like if there's a typhoon or, you know, last year with that shooting in Connecticut, you know, we're like in a group watching together trying to understand more about what's happening.
Yeah. Okay. And Avner Ronan continues by saying that's why we decided to concentrate on providing the broadcast networks to our users. What does he mean, broadcast networks?
Well, I think when he says broadcast networks, he means all of the big television networks. In America, we think of things like ABC and NBC and CBS.
Yeah.
And I think the main idea here is that people want access to television, even if they don't want to watch cable television.
Right. And he goes on to explain why.
Right. If you can offer those networks, the big TV stations, and add them to Netflix and Hulu and YouTube, then everyone would be happy with that. Now, Netflix is an organization where you can basically rent videos, and they kind of arrive in your inbox, and then you watch them for a couple of days, and then it's done. Hulu is actually a TV streaming website where you can watch whatever's on TV, except through your computer. And, of course, YouTube, we're all familiar with.
Okay. All right. So, and he says, well, that would be a great experience and a more affordable one. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about that monthly fee for cable, which caused him to be a cord cutter in the beginning, and then he's reformed. He's coming back. How do I combine all of this stuff into a reasonable cost?
Well, and I think he saying that affordable, I think that's the key there. Mm-hmm. Because he goes on to say in the next section, TV should not be free. So he's not saying we shouldn't pay for the content. He's just saying that we shouldn't pay as much as we have to pay when we're using cable television.
Yeah. And he explains this with this quote.
Right. There at the top of the next column, we believe that content makers need to be compensated for their work. Now, that's a really important point. Mm-hmm. And it sort of comes back to the debate that's been going on for years about the music industry and how free downloads and sharing CDs can cut into sales. He's saying, well, the same thing is true with TV. If we just offer everything for free all the time, then how do people keep making good programming? They need to be paid. They need to be compensated for the work that they've done.
I think it's fair. And, and in some ways, we talked about it back in January, talking about his copying, you know,
theft or innovation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how people who do innovate do need some reward.
Right.
Without reward, well, you know, the innovation is going to drop off.
There's no motivation for innovation.
Oh, you are a poet. We're not advocating what?
We're not advocating basically replacing the incumbents is the term they use with YouTube.
Yeah.
So he goes on to say here that YouTube is getting better, but they're not trying to replace the current providers with that free content.
Yeah. All right. And the stuff on YouTube is getting better. If anything, the biggest problem I would say is sifting through the content to find the good from the bad.
Yeah, that may be true. But I find for every TV show I watch an equal amount of YouTube video. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff out there and very interesting.
Yeah.
So Mr. Ronan wants the incumbents to understand that they're not trying to destroy their business. And an incumbent is a person who's sort of coming into this office or whatever. We talk about this sometimes in politics, right?
Yeah. Yeah. For instance, last year, Barack Obama was the incumbent. He already was in office during the election. So somebody in there and you know, they exist. And so Avner Ronan is saying, we don't want to destroy all of this.
Right. We're not trying to kill TV.
Right.
We're just trying to make it more accessible.
Okay. Let's continue with our second reading for today.
Anand Subramanian, CEO, Nimble TV, the visionary. Nimble TV's technology streams a cable or satellite subscriber's programming to the web, enabling TV viewing on virtually any device connected to the Internet. I'm sure I wasn't the first to wonder, why can't we watch live TV, stuff we pay a cable subscription for, on the device of our choosing? So, I met with cable operators and stations and learned. They're bound by a complex patchwork of old contracts and regulations, but a third party like me is unbound by all of this. I'd never succeed by disrupting the industry model, so I'm working within it. To use Nimble TV, you have to pay for a cable subscription. That way, everyone's still getting paid, and I'm making it easy. You won't even need a cable box anymore.
Okay, in this section, we hear from another industry expert, right, Naomi?
Right. Anand Subramanian is the CEO of Nimble TV. They call him a visionary, and someone who's a visionary is someone who's always looking to the future. They're very full of creativity and imagination, but also with wisdom as well. They're not just dreamers. They look forward and they start making plans.
Okay, in our first reading over in line 11 in the left column, we see the term media streaming device. And so this is one of these terms we're going to talk about during this article throughout streaming. And we see it a little bit different here in the first sentence.
Where it says, Nimble TV's technology streams a cable or satellite subscriber's programming to the web. So in the example of Boxy, we were talking about watching the internet on your TV. Now we're talking about watching your TV on the internet through any device that can access the internet.
Yeah. All right. So a little bit of a reverse from what we talked about in the first section. It's enabling TV viewing on virtually any device connected to the internet.
Yeah. And I think that's really fun. The idea that you can enable TV viewing. You can sort of turn on TV viewing from any device because right now you have to go and sit in front of your TV. Why not be able to watch it from your tablet or from your computer? It sounds really convenient. And so we hear a quote from him where he says, I'm sure I wasn't the first to wonder about this. I'm sure other people had the same idea.
Yeah. And so he's thinking about it. Why can't we watch live TV? Stuff we pay a cable subscription for on the device of our choosing.
That's right. And this is especially true when you think about the size of televisions, right? You don't want to take it with you on the bus.
Yeah.
But
right.
You might not want to miss your show.
Well, and the other thing to remember is that all of this media content takes up space on your devices if you try to store it. So you can say, oh, well, that's fine. You go to iTunes and you buy this copy of the movie that then you don't have to watch it on TV. Well, fine. But first of all, you're paying twice. Second of all, you have to take up space on your devices with that. And here we're saying, well, why not just be able to stream it? Just watch it. You know, you don't have to store the information then.
Okay. Anand talks about how he was able to bring this about.
Well, initially he had a lot of difficulty, didn't he? He says he met with cable operators and stations and learned they were bound by a complex patchwork of old contracts and regulations. When you talk about a patchwork, I always think about a patchwork quilt, which is kind of a blanket that's made out of different pieces of things that are kind of sewn together. Mm-hmm. And so the idea here is the contracts and the rules and regulations that these companies are working under are all mixed and matched and don't really fit together well.
And they're bound by them. They're almost trapped. It's almost like it's this patchwork net that they're sitting under, like, well, we can't move from here because there's this rule and there's this law and there's this system.
Right. They're really restricted in what they can offer. So,
and the advantage he had was that he was a third party, meaning he wasn't producing the content and he wasn't the cable company. He was a third group of people. And so he didn't have to follow any of those regulations.
Yeah. Now, we continue in this next paragraph with another quote from him.
He says, I'd never succeed by disrupting the industry model. So he's saying, well, I don't really want to be too much of a disruptor. I don't want to cause trouble because, you know, there's already a system. So I want to work within that system. I want to find a way to make it work better.
Yeah. And I would say also trying to fight against the existing cable industry would be very expensive because of litigation. If he didn't work with them hand in hand, he'd spend all his time in court. They would file lawsuits against him.
Well, and then he might not have anything to offer anyway.
Yeah.
It pays to try to work with people.
Yeah. And we find out here as far as using Nimble TV.
Well, if you're going to use it, you need to pay for cable still because it takes your cable and it streams it for you on the internet. And that way, everyone gets paid, which means everyone still gets the money they need to run their business.
Mm. Which kind of goes hand in hand with what Avner Ronan said in our first reading. Right up the top of this column, we believe the content makers need to be compensated. So both of these gentlemen are talking about still compensating the creators.
Right. They don't want to steal from anyone here. They just want to make the system easier for the users.
Okay. So, Anand Subramanian says that way everyone still gets paid. And what? I'm making it easy, right?
Yeah, he's making it easier because you don't need this cable box anymore. You're familiar with the cable box, right? When you sign up for cable, they bring you a big box. It goes in your house and sometimes it doesn't work and you have to turn it off and turn it back on.
Okay, so this would just come, for instance, through my internet cable, like the ADSL, or maybe even through Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
Instead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, listeners, thanks for joining us here for day one of The Future of TV. Very interesting article that I'm sure all of you will be curious to know what's available in the future as far as viewing your favorite programs. Come on back tomorrow. Till then, this is Bill.
Naomi.
And Simon.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.